Everybody, this is the House Rules Committee meeting. The time is 9:30. We're in the Grunberg Room, which is room 120. We have with us Representative Chenault, Representative Kito, Vice Chair Klayman, Representative Stutz, Representative Millett, who is the alternate for Representative Reinbold, and Representative Eastman. And we do have a quorum to conduct business today. Please, everybody, turn off your cell phones on the pane of donuts. And I see joining us in the audience today is Representative Wilson. I want to thank Deborah Tillinghast, our recording secretary, and Madison Truitt from the Juno LIO for helping us out with this meeting. We have the first order of business today is SB 64. It's to adopt the Uniform Environmental Covenants Act. And Representative Klayman, could I have a motion to adopt the working draft?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move to adopt House Committee substitute for Senate Bill 6430-LS0446-T as our working document.
And hearing no objections, that is our working document today. So I'd like to invite Alita Buss and Kristen Ryan from the Department of Environmental Conservation to talk to us about the House rules changes in this bill.
Good morning. For the record, my name is Kristen Ryan, and I'm the director for the Division of Spill Prevention and Response for the Department of Environmental Conservation, State of Alaska. Before the committee today is a substitute that is a result of communication with the Department of Defense, who had initially expressed some concerns with the original legislation. And we spent the last, I would say, week working with the different branches of the Department of Defense, which include the Army, the Navy, and the Air Force, to see if we could come up with a compromise that would satisfy their concerns. Their issues are around a section of the bill that only deals with a notice of use restriction. We, as a state, aren't able to put a covenant on federal property, which is why the bill included a section of a notice of use restriction, which would be applied in those scenarios when we couldn't use a covenant, which is what we would have to do in the case of Department of Defense property. They wanted to be clear that it did not mean that we had an interest in the property, that we weren't restricting their use of the property if we put a notice of use restriction on it, and that in legal terms it's called an interest in the property, which was always the department's understanding of the notice. It didn't change our interpretation of the legislation, so the amendments essentially just clarify that that is the case, and that's so that their attorneys are satisfied that's how it will be interpreted.
Thank you. Do we have any questions? Representative Millett.
Thank you. I spent some time this weekend going over this bill. So I've just got about five questions. And so my first question is, does this bill give additional powers to DEC that they don't have already?
Representative Millett, through the chair, no. The legislation doesn't change what we do or how we do it. Let me correct that. It changes a little bit how we do it. It just makes sure we're recording what's happening on the record of the property. It's a disclosure law. It allows us to make sure that future buyers are aware of what they're getting. So the department will continue to regulate the property in the current way that it is and apply cleanup policies and procedures as we currently are, but the bill would then communicate if contamination stays in place above our cleanup levels on the title, so that future buyers know that they're purchasing property that has contamination they need to be cognizant of.
Okay. Another question?
Yes, but before I let you get to your question, I just want to note that Representative Josephson has joined us. Okay. Representative Millett.
Thanks. So in the hearings, you state that this is a voluntary program. Does this mean that there has to be an agreement with all parties before the covenant can be attached? And will all agreements include a future mechanism for removing the covenant and appeal process? And then how many agreements does DEC have with 1,000 property owners that this bill could potentially affect?
Representative Malditch, let me see if I got all those. Correct me ones the ones I missed. The bill it would allow us to work. We're going forward, not backwards. So it would only be a tool we use going forward. And it does include language for removal of the covenant. The bill is it's voluntary. Covenant is voluntary because you always have the opportunity to clean the contamination up. This only comes into effect if you leave contamination above the cleanup level. So this only applies to a handful, or not a handful, but a portion of our sites, because many are cleaned up to our cleanup standards and they're closed and they're out of our process. But if for some reason contamination remains, you're unable to get it, the best example that I've been using is there was a location in Anchorage, a gas station that was a car wash. When they pulled the tanks out of the gas for the gas station, there was contaminated dirt around the tanks. They removed as much as they could, but some of it migrated over to the foundation of the building. We didn't make them take the building out. We try to be reasonable and in those scenarios say you don't have to rip the building out to get the rest of the bad dirt. But when the building is removed, we do want you to deal with that in the right way. The land was transferred. Somebody came in, ripped the building out, spread the dirt everywhere without knowing that it was above our cleanup levels with petroleum, and put a restaurant in, actually. And now we have a problem because they have now spread this dirt not only on their property but their neighbor's property. So that's what this bill was intended to avoid. That person, if that person had known when they removed the building, this would have been a simple solution to remove that contaminated dirt and not spread it everywhere rather than do what happens, or did what happened. So that was the impetus of the legislation, to avoid those scenarios. That I know I missed something.
Follow up. So basically it's not voluntary. You can attach a covenant even if a property owner disagrees with you and says that's not my understanding of.
The covenant must be, Representative Millett through the chair, the terms have to be agreed on by the property owner. It's a negotiated process with the department. There are mechanisms to change the covenant. There's an appeal process. But yes, if the contamination remains above our cleanup levels, and the property owner needs to have that information communicated on the title, then yes, the department can put the covenant on the property. But our intent, which is I think clearly stipulated in the legislation, is to work with them to make sure it's a joint effort and everyone's agreeing that this is the right path forward.
Okay. And thank you. And then in section 1, AS 4604.310, you state it provides situations in which the covenant is still valid and enforceable and is priority over common law. What does that mean? Can you explain that?
Representative Milt through the chair. So the intent is that if the covenant is violated, that it's enforceable like our other statutory authorities. And this is in existing as well. For example, if you contaminated an aquifer, we would say the restriction that we would place on your property right now, which is in our database, it's just not communicated through the covenant, is that you can't put a well in because if you drink this water, it will be unsafe. If you put a well in, we have the current legal capacity to go in and say you can't drink that water. It's unsafe for you to provide that water to people. That is existing law. All this is doing is communicating that restriction exists.
Okay. One last question. Thank you. Mm-hmm. I wrote them all down. In AS 4604.335, it states the department has the power to enforce and bring civil action if there's failure to comply. Can the department bring civil action now if a property owner fails to comply?
Yes, Representative Millett through the chair. Yes.
So it's current law. Okay. Okay. Thank you.
And then we have Representative Stutz, but before I get to you, I just wanted to note that we have online for questions Emily Nauman from Legislative Legal, and we also have Robert Shirley from the Department of Defense Regional Environmental Coordinator, and they are both online to answer questions. Representative Stutz.
Thank you. Through the chair, I note that there are two rule CSs here, and so I'm presuming that the Department of Defense is on board with the CS that we adopted. Is that correct?
And we have Robert Shirley from the Department of Defense. You can ask him that directly, Representative Stutes.
Perfect. Did you hear that question?
Mr. Shirley, please give us your name and identify yourself for the record.
My name is Robert Shirley, and I'm the Department of Defense Regional Environmental Coordinator for Region 10.
And did you hear the question?
No, I did not. Can you repeat the question?
Certainly. I noticed that we have two CSs for this particular bill, and I'm presuming that the Department of Defense is in agreement with the CS which we adopted, which is 0446/T, like Tom.
It's the most recent CS that we sent you, Mr. Shirley. At ease. Mr. Shirley, can you hear us? Are you on the line, Mr. Shirley? Now he's off the line. Why don't you try the question?
Madam Chairman, Representative Stutes, yes, we worked closely with Department of Defense to come up with a version that they were comfortable with, and version T answers all of their concerns, and they're comfortable with this draft.
Thank you.
Thank you. And Mr. Shirley, I'm noticing that you're showing up as being online again. Are you there?
Yes, ma'am. This is Robert Shirley. I'm the Deputy Regional Environmental Coordinator.
And so the question is version T, which is the last draft that you were given, does that meet all of the department's concerns?
Version T meets the intent of the letter dated May 4, 2018 that I sent last Friday with respect to DOD concerns.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Are there any other questions for either Ms. Ryan or Mr. Shirley? All right. Well, thank you. And so I believe we have a couple of amendments. And so we have amendment number one by Representative Millett. You want to move amendment number one?
Sure. Madam Chair, I move amendment number one.
And check for purposes of discussion.
Thank you. Through the chair, this amendment would change or would add that if a department will terminate an environmental covenant if the concentration of residual contamination on the property and the department determines the level of the concentration of the residual contamination does not endanger health, human health, safety, or welfare of the environment. So basically, if we get a change in status of what the contaminant does, and it the EPA or DEC or the federal government lowers it to a level that the prior covenant had, it removes a covenant. So they determine something is, one time was not safe, and now the levels have changed and it's safe, that covenant goes away.
Thank you. Ms. Ryan, does the department have any views as to this amendment?
For the record, my name is Kristen Ryan, the director of the Division of Spill Prevention and Response for the Alaska Department of Environmental Conservation. The department's perspective on this amendment is that that was the intent of the legislation. There's many aspects to the covenant that allow it to be removed, so we don't we see this as consistent with the existing language in the bill.
Thank you. Thank you. Representative Eastman.
Thank you, through the chair. So now, without this amendment, is this basically what the department already does, or was there something that happened that this is a technical fix that's required because we've got a problem? Can you make the distinction? Is this just clarifying what's already existing, or is this changing something?
Representative Eastman, through the chair, we believe it's not changing the bill in any way. It was not a technical fix that we required or requested.
Thank you.
Representative Klayman.
This may be a question more for the drafter. I see amendment number one is written to the N version of the bill, and we're now on the T version of the bill. Where does this fit to the T version, if you know, and does it change significantly the T version, or does that we basically need to allow the Dudge Legal to make conforming changes?
You don't do we have Emily?
Yeah.
From Ledge Legal here?
Yes, this is Emily Naumann with Legislative Legal. To Representative Klayman, through the chair, you're correct that the amendment I'm looking at also is to the N version. It might be most helpful to adopt it as a conceptual amendment because it is to an incorrect for a different version. But that said, the changes between the N and T versions were relatively minor, so I would be surprised if this amendment doesn't actually function as it is. I didn't have time to check the page and line references, but that would be the only changes I would have to make to conform this amendment to the T version.
And I probably should have said this before, but for purposes of amendments, I'll be granting Legislative Legal the right to make technical and conforming changes for any amendments adopted. So do we have any other questions about the amendment, or do we have any discussion about the amendment? Well,
I'll remove my objection to the amendment number
thank
one.
You. So without hearing objection, the amendment is adopted. I am not going to introduce amendment number two. After discussion with the department, I've determined that this probably needs some further discussion, and we'll be back hopefully in the future to have those discussions. So Representative Klayman, do I have a motion?
I move House Committee substitute for Senate Bill 6430-LS0446/T as amended out of committee with previous fiscal notes and individual recommendations.
Hearing no objection, the bill moves. We're going to have a brief at ease to sign the committee report. Right now, and we are going to recess until the call of the chair. Thank you.